Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant-at-Arms will be instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Dr. Jules Erickson from All Saints Lutheran Church in Cottage Grove. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let streams of living justice flow down upon the earth. Give freedom's light to captives. Let all the poor have worth. The hungry's hands are pleading. The workers claim their rights. The mourners long for laughter. The blinded seek for sight. Make liberty a beacon. Strike down the iron power. Abolish ancient vengeance. Proclaim your people's hour. For the healing of the nations. For peace that will not end. For love that makes us lovers. God, grant us grace to mend. Weave our varied gifts together, knit our lives as they are spun. On your loom of time, enroll us till our thread of life is run. Let streams of living justice roll down upon this assembly. Amen.
Of the United States of America. With liberty and justice for all. Did you write that?
No, it's a hymn from our hymn book.
Oh,
710.
It's very nice.
Streams of living water.
It's very pretty. Thanks.
You can keep it.
Thank
you.
Thank you very much. The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fischbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J., Peterson B., Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rood, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Wieger, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. Third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the adoption by the House of the following Senate Concurrent Resolution herewith returned. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 6, a Senate Concurrent Resolution relating to adjournment for more than 3 days. Signed, Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
The fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda and the addendum be adopted.
All those
Madam
in favor?
President, Madam President.
For what reason does the gentleman arise?
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 21, I object to the reference of Senate File Number 925.
It'll be noted and returned to rules, Senator Limmer. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Pursuant to Rule 21, I object to the reference of Senate File 778.
It will be noted and returned to the Rules Committee. Senator Bach. On the motion to adopt the committee reports in the agenda and the addendum, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. With the exception of Senate File 925, the bills will be read for the second time. Second reading. ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are authors' motions. Introduction and eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills, as printed on the agenda, will be given their first reading and referred as indicated. First reading. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These motions will be adopted as one motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Dahl.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 841 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and referred to the Committee on Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development. This is my bill. We have talked to the committee chairs.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Eaton.
Madam Chair, I have Senate File 1050 to be withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government and returned to its author.
This is your bill?
Yes, ma'am.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Madam President. I would propose to move Senate File 1262 to be withdrawn from the Committee on Energy and Environment and re-referred to the Committee on Finance, actually the Environment, Economic Development, and Agriculture Committee. It's my bill, and I have spoken to the chairs, and they both approve.
All those in favor of the Scalzi motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Eakin.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate File 605 be withdrawn from the Committee on Health and Human Services and Housing and referred to the Committee on Finance. This is my bill, and I have spoken with the chairs of both committees.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Eakin.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 792 be withdrawn from the Committee on Health, Human Services, and Housing and referred to the Committee on Finance.
Once again, this is your bill, and you've spoken to the authors.
Yes, Madam President.
The chairs. All right. Thank you. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate Resolution Number 43 will be referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. Members, the two bills we're going to take up on special orders today are General Order Number 23, House File 582, General Order Number 7, House File 321. I'd yield to Senator Eakin.
First bill on special orders is House File 582, Senator Eakin.
Thank you, Madam President. This bill addresses a problem that emerged from a bill that had been passed last year, which was a new requirement that was added last year to Statute 144.1225, and this new requirement was a requirement for accreditation of diagnostic imaging services in our hospitals. The law was actually designed to address outpatient services, these units that come in and provide these diagnostic imaging services that are not associated with a hospital. And the law identifies four accreditation organizations that were to be used for this purpose. And at the time the bill was passed and discussed, the rural hospitals were assured that the accreditation through the Minnesota Department of Health was sufficient to meet the intent of the law. But the Department of Health has issued an interpretation of this law which says that does not meet the intent, or that does not meet the requirements of this law. The department stated that approved accreditation organizations would not include the Department of Health, which currently certifies most of Minnesota's critical access hospitals in our rural areas. The interpretation now requires that these rural hospitals do have to seek expensive accreditation by August 1st of 2013 from one of these four accreditation organizations, and they include the Joint Commission, the American College of Radiology, the Intersocietal Accreditation Commission, who are a part of these organizations. Hospitals located in Greater Minnesota need an exemption from the accreditation standards that were aimed at these outpatient facilities, not inpatient hospitals that have been providing high-quality services for decades. So it's really a technical fix here. Again, the law was never intended to hit the hospitals. It was for these outpatient units. And so the additional accreditation costs to our hospitals it takes a lot of money and time that should really be spent on their patients. The hospital license is more than rigorous enough to ensure the safety of our patients in these facilities. And the bill did pass in the House unanimously, 126-0, and I would ask for your support. Thank you. And I stand for any questions.
Are there any questions? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Eakin yield?
Will Senator Eakin yield? Senator Eakin will yield. Senator Newman.
Senator Eakin, I have received mixed messages from individuals involved with rural hospitals in my district. And the one that is of concern to me, and I'm hoping you can answer and address for me, is this. This is an email from a radiology manager of a rural hospital in my district. And what he says is that revised accreditation is unnecessary and extremely costly for all rural hospitals in the state of Minnesota. Staffing and cost is already a concern for critical access hospitals across the state. Adding these additional costs and paperwork is of no benefit to either party. Please do not support this bill. Senator Eakin, can you address this individual's concerns as to whether or not additional staffing and costs will be added as a result of your bill to rural hospitals?
Senator Eakin.
Thank you, Senator Eakin.
Thank you, Madam President and Senator Newman. Actually, this would be the opposite. This is addressing the concerns of those that this would add undue costs and burdens to our hospitals. This is addressing the added burdens that would be placed on our hospitals from the bill that passed last year. So this is exempting the hospitals now from this added accreditation process that would be required. It was never intended for hospitals to go through this accreditation process that were already certified through the Department of Health. So again, this actually reduces the burden on our hospitals, and this requirement would be by August 1st.
Members, can we keep the noise down? Members are having difficulty hearing Senator Eakin.
Great. Thank you, Madam President. And this requirement would have to be put in place by August 1st, which is a very aggressive timeline, and some hospitals would even have difficulty meeting up to the requirement by August 1st, which means some of these very important diagnostic imaging services would not be available for many of our patients in the rural hospitals where this requirement couldn't be met. So, again, what's happening here is it's basically exempting the hospitals from this requirement if they have certification through the health department, which is already a very rigorous standard. And again, it's really just a technical fix because the bill as it was written last year was never intended to be applied to our hospitals. So it's just fixing a technical problem because the wording wasn't quite right. And there was actually a great deal of debate within the health department about how to interpret the law that was passed last year. There was a great deal of debate whether the interpretation was correct, but the interpretation has now come out by the health department that they would have to comply just because of the wording of this law. We're just fixing that so that the intent of the law is being carried through with, which is that it's just to apply to the outpatient units that are providing these services because they do not go through the Department of Health.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. As author of this legislation last year, I concur with Senator Eakin that was the intent, to exempt the hospitals. This just makes it perfectly clear, clarifies it, gives the department clear direction. And members, I'd ask for your yes vote on this bill. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Westrom.
Madam President, I would also rise in support of the Eakin bill. I've talked to several of my hospitals, small hospitals in my district, and they would like and appreciate this this oversight or misclarification of a law passed. But Madam President, members of the Senate, we haven't even went a week since the health care exchange bill passed. And I just want to point this out. What we pass here on the floor can be this easily misinterpreted or misapplied by an agency. And we just passed the health exchange bill last week. We tried to bring this back for legislative approval. That amendment was failed. Hopefully the conference committee will look more seriously at that issue. But members, we have an example right in front of us here today with this bill. The former author of the bill, Representative Kiffmeyer, talked about how they intended and they were supposed to be exempt, but the way the legislation passed and the way it was implemented was not implemented the way the legislature intended for it to be. And so we've got this fix here today. Senator Eakin, I support your bill. I'm glad you brought it forward and glad we can fix this problem for our small hospitals. But members, stand warned that the bill we passed with the health care exchange, where we didn't want any more legislative oversight and we wanted to just pass off to agencies, the agencies often times don't know what we meant or don't get it right. And so this is a clear example of what we're working on here today.
Is there any more discussion? Any more discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 582 its third reading.
House File number 582, a bill for an act relating to health requiring accreditation of advanced diagnostic imaging services operating in the state.
The Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 in favor and 0 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 7 on general orders, House File 321, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, do I need to make a motion?
No, just explain your bill.
All right, thank you. Madam President. Madam President, House File 321 corresponds to Senate File 99. And what this seeks to do is to allow the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul to establish park dedication fees, otherwise known as impact fees, for new housing and other forms of development within their jurisdiction. Madam President and members, this is very similar to the authority that's granted to cities all over the metropolitan area, in particular, allowing them as they're developing to have those units of housing pay a fee of some sort that's established at the local level. Those are capital dollars that are paid to help improve the park facilities and amenities that are nearby. We're bringing this because of, as we might have read in the papers, there's a tremendous amount of development and new housing that's going on within Minneapolis and St. Paul. That's a welcome change from the recent history. But of course, as we know, as more and more folks come into our neighborhoods, more and more pressure and more demand for park amenities is created. And so, and there's also a tremendous benefit to those properties from nearby park facilities. so that folks can come and live in communities that enjoy a high quality of life. The reason this bill is before us is in thanks to the attorneys who really feel like we need to button up a little bit of language. It's really more of a technical change. This is existing authority, however, rather than subjecting it to the subdivision section and the platting section of existing state statutes. As we all know, Minneapolis is fully subdivided and fully platted. It's really, as is St. Paul, it's a direct grant of authority to carry out this function. So it makes it clear that it's not conferred under that particular section, but rather it's a direct enabling legislation. It has to be, of course, adopted by local ordinance. They have to set the fee. It's in conjunction with the time that the construction permit is issued. And then, of course, the second section, Section 2, picks up the City of St. Paul with the same authority. I think that explains most of the bill. I'll glance at my notes. Just to make sure that members are aware, these impact fees, these park dedication fees, are subject to the same conditions as you find in those subdivision regulations, namely to make sure this is capital, not operating, that any improvements made are part of a capital plan and a comprehensive plan that's been adopted by the park board, and also making sure that there's nexus, and that's really just another way of saying that this is only going to improve parks that are proximate to the benefiting property, so within a half mile. That's my bill, Madam President.
Is there any discussion? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move the A51 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment, the A51 amendment.
Senator Hall moves to amend House File Number 321 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate March 4th, 2013 as follows. Page 1, line 17, and this is the A51 amendment.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I noticed as I was going over the bill here that on line 1.17 and 2.8, this bill excludes from paying the fee, excludes the senior housing, may exclude senior housing and affordable housing. All my bill would do would be that it would change the may to a must and said that they must exclude the senior housing and the affordable housing from paying this fee. I'm not sure why it may would have been in there. Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. This is the first I've seen of this amendment. Senator Hall, as I've expressed previously, sometimes we can actually work together. At this point, Madam President, I would resist this amendment. This is just simply granting local authority. We don't create the same demands of other units of government with must language when they're establishing these fees. And so this is simply a grant of local authority to establish these fees in a manner that they see fit, conforming to some of the regulations that we already find in statute.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would Senator Dibble yield to a question?
Will Senator Dibble yield? Senator Dibble will yield.
Thank
Senator
you.
Hall.
Senator Dibble, could you tell me why they put may instead of must in there? Why would they want the decision to be able to make a difference? What would cause them to do it, make them pay the fee, or what would cause them not to make them pay the fee?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. As we know, local units of government are subject to the authority of locally elected officials, and there's a local process that they undergo in conversation with their own constituents and their own stakeholders. And so this is simply an authorization for local units of government to act in the manner that they see fit according to their local conditions. This is authorizing language.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hear you and understand a little bit, but I think it's important that the senior housing and the affordable housing, those folks should not have to pay this fee. And so I will move my amendment.
Is there any
roll call, Madam Chair?
Roll call has been requested. Roll call will be granted. Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A51 amendment. All members having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will... All members having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 26 in favor, 40 opposed, the motion is defeated. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A8 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Hall moves to amend House File Number 321 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate March 4th, 2013 as follows. Page 1, line 18. This is the A8 amendment.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In looking at the bill, it looks like the average estimated fee is about $1,500 per new residential unit. And in Minneapolis, some were fixed fees up to $3,400 for a single-family resident. That's a lot of money. And so this bill, all it does is it excludes a small business owner that is a veteran. Veterans have done so much for our country. They have given... their lives, their families, and in this respect, I think we could give them a break and keep them from having to pay extra fees for parks because we want to encourage business. We don't want to put an added burden on them. And I think in these days, with the economy the way it's going, taxes the way they're going, I would rather keep them out of it and eliminate the veteran from having to pay the fee. I also would like a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. Senator Dipple.
Thank you, Madam President. Again, first time I'm seeing this amendment, but I'm aware of this amendment because I think they had some discussion about it in another chamber in this building somewhere. Madam President, I strongly oppose this amendment. This actually has nothing to do with benefiting veteran-owned construction. This is about paying the fee to the property that's ultimately going to benefit. And ultimately, Madam President, it's the property owner. It has nothing to do with the folks who are developing these properties. This is about housing that's being built, that's creating demand for amenities and services that are proximate to where that housing is being developed in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And we know that literally hundreds of housing units are coming online very, very quickly. This actually does nothing to benefit veterans or veteran-owned businesses. And what it does is it simply excludes that housing from getting benefits to the park, and conversely, those who are moving into those areas from benefiting from the possibility of making improvements to those park amenities nearby. So, you know, just because the word veterans is in here makes no difference one way or the other. What this simply does is it simply pretty much eviscerates the purpose of this bill and accomplishes nothing other than harming the ability to deliver some capital improvements to the parks that are nearby where development pressure is occurring.
Senator Hall.
Madam Chair, if I might just add, I know the author said he had not heard of this, but part of this, the veterans, was added in an amendment that did get passed in the House, is my understanding.
Is there any other discussion? Senator Chamberlain.
Madam President, members, Senator Dibble, will he yield?
Senator Dibble, will you yield? Senator Dibble. Senator Dibble yields. Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Dibble. This is a fee that's assessed at time of application for the permits. Is that correct, Senator Dibble?
Senator Dibble.
Madam President, Senator Chamberlain, yes.
So that,
Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President. So that fee that they pay, does that not get passed on to the eventual, you know, property owner or building owner or developer of that property?
Senator Dibble.
Madam President, if I understand the question, yes, ultimately the fee would be picked up by the resulting owner.
Thank you, Senator Dibble.
Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President. So ultimately, and these fees can be extensive. I see here maybe $1,500 or $3,400. They can be extensive. And if we're talking about trying to help out business, small business, and right now we're talking about a lot of new veterans issues with the recent wars, new veterans coming in, and also with retiring and more Vietnam veterans retiring. We have a new crop of veterans that we had to watch out for and take care of. And I know in the MAG group that I'm in with others here as well, and working with them, there's still a lot of people that could use this boost, and a lot of unemployed veterans. And I think relieving them of these fees would be helpful, because that is an extra fee that gets pushed on down the line to the veterans and those property owners and business owners. So I would support the amendment. It's one little thing we can do for veterans and small businesses to help support them. Thank you.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll only point out that these park dedication fees are enacted at the local level in literally dozens and dozens of our communities around the metro area, and they're typically $4,000 or $5,000 per unit. So this is set at $1,500. Again, it really makes no difference or benefit to these veteran-owned businesses. All it does is simply harm our ability to deliver these capital improvements to parks in Minneapolis and St. Paul only.
Senator Osmek.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Dibble yield, please?
Will Senator Dibble yield? Senator Dibble will yield. Senator
Thank
Osmek.
You, Madam President. A question to the fee. On the legislation itself, fees are usually enacted when the properties are built, but when a teardown takes place and you will rebuild on the property, do these fees apply?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you. If I understand the question, are fees enacted at the time that properties are demolished for a demolition permit? Madam President, no.
Senator Osmek.
Thank you, Madam President. To more clarify it, in my previous experience, when we've had a teardown and a rebuild, we do not reassess all the park fees and stub fees. It's only on brand new construction on subdivisions where there was not a property or a house existing on the pad itself. So maybe in rephrasing the question, if you tear down and rebuild, do the fees apply because they've already been previously paid under stub fees previously assessed to the property? Is that an accurate statement?
Senator Dibble.
Madam President, we don't have this fee presently in Minneapolis or St. Paul.
Senator Osmak.
Thank you, Madam President. One final question, and it's to the narrowness of the amendment, that the only way that this would come into play is if the property was actually being built by a veteran when the fees were being imposed at the time of construction. So it would be a known veteran building a new facility or a new business that likely didn't previously exist. Is that, am I stating that correctly? It would be only new and only at the time when the veteran was actually applying for the permits. Is that correct?
Senator Dibble.
Madam President, the language of the bill on line 12 says impose a dedication fee in conjunction with the construction permit required.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A8 amendment. Have all members voted who desire to vote? Then the Secretary will close the roll. There being 27 ayes, 36 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move this A7 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Hall moves to amend House File Number 321 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate March 4, 2013 as follows. Page 1, line 20, and it's the A7 amendment.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a pretty simple amendment, too. It requires that the parks that will be acquired or developed cannot be put within 1,500 feet of a person that is a level 3 sex offender. Madam Chair and members, we don't want to entice level 3 sex offenders with our children. I believe we need to think about where parks are being put. Although sex offenders can move around, if we know at the time that the park is being built that the sex offender lives within 1,500 feet, I don't think we should be putting a park in there. You can hear, you can be distracted by the kids playing. I can hear kids playing over a mile from my house. This is less than half of that. So members, I would like you to consider the children of the city of Minneapolis, especially in St. Paul, and not allow these parks to be built within 1,500 feet of a resident that would be a level 3 sex offender. And I would like to roll call, Madam Chair.
Roll call has been requested.
Madam President.
Senator Dibble.
I move to table Senate file, House File 321. Madam President.
Senator Dibble.
Moving because we need to move on with the business of the day. We can come back to this amendment at another time. I will speak against it. I think it's ridiculous and accomplishes nothing, and we'll move that we defeat it when it's reoffered by Senator Hall at a future point in time. But in the meantime, if we could please table House File 321.
All those in favor of the motion to table say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The bill is tabled. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'm going to shortly move for a brief recess. The Rules Committee is going to meet in room 123 immediately upon the recess to take up the earlier committee reports that were referred to rules. So, Madam President, I would now move a recess of the Senate to the call of the chair.
All those in favor of the motion to recess, say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Senate is in recess.
Room 123 rules, members.
To order, Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, I impose a call of the Senate.
Senate is under call.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
Sergeant-at-Arms will bring in the absent members. Remaining on motions and resolutions, we'll take up the fifth order of business, reports of committees. The Secretary will read the reports.
Senator Bach from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was referred under Rule 21, together with the committee report thereon, Senate File Number 925, a bill for an act relating to marriage, providing for a marriage between two persons, reports the same back with the recommendation that the report from the Committee on Judiciary shown in the journal for March 12, 2013 be adopted, that the committee recommendation being the bill be amended and when so amended the bill do pass. And Senator Bach from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was referred under Rule 21, together with the committee report thereon, Senate File Number 778, a bill for an act relating to collective bargaining, authorizing collective bargaining for family child care providers, reports the same back with the recommendation that the report from the Committee on Health, Human Services, and Housing, shown in the Journal for March 12, 2013, be adopted. That committee recommendation being the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill be re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary without recommendation.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports read by the Secretary be adopted.
On
Madam
that
President,
motion. Senator Limmer.
Madam President, I wish to divide the motion and separate the Senate file, I believe it's 975 references, to have it voted on separately. 925, Madam President.
So, Senator Bach, there's been a motion to, or request to separate the reports. Which one would you like voted on first?
Madam President, let's vote on 778. 778.
778. Is there further discussion on adopting the committee report on Senate File 778? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
opposed. The motion prevails. Now on Senate File 925.
Madam President.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the vote on Senate File 925 be postponed until such time as we have a completed fiscal note.
On the motion.
Madam President.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. I would request a roll call vote on that motion. Members, the reason I'm making this motion, I sat in on the Rules Committee. I do not serve on Rules, but I did sit in and listen to the debate. Apparently, late yesterday, Senator Limmer was given a preliminary fiscal note on this bill. The preliminary, which is just a quick cursory review of what costs might be incurred by the state of Minnesota, shows just short of $700,000 in the out years. For 2014, it's $631,000, but it does ramp up to $688,000. There was some discussion in the committee about Senator Newman talked about some changes he tried to make in various laws in the past and the tremendous impact to the courts and the cost. Let me be clear, members. A vote in support of my motion is not a vote against the bill. Let me just be clear. A vote in support of my motion is not a vote against the bill. It's not going to prevent a future vote on the bill. It simply says that we should do our due diligence as a body here, representing taxpayers of the state of Minnesota, and wait when we have a preliminary note that says, yes, there will be a cost, maybe upwards of $1 million. We should wait until we have a completed fiscal note and see what that says and determine whether we should re-refer this bill back to a finance committee or whether we should take it up on this floor without going through a finance committee first. Members, the right thing to do when there's a bill that's going to cost us $1 million or more or $500,000 is to run it through a fiscal committee, a budget committee, so that they can account for that in their budget. Otherwise, in a year when we have a budget deficit, we're spending money that we don't have and we haven't budgeted for. So all I'm asking is just to delay this for a few days so that we can get a completed fiscal note before we take up the question of adopting the committee report.
Members are reminded that when you're speaking, you should face the front of the chamber and direct your remarks to the president. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I impose a call of the Senate.
Senate is under call. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails, and the Sergeant-at-Arms will bring in the absent members. Is there any discussion on the Nienau motion? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Might be wise to have a little discussion of why this motion is before us. Most of the members are not members of the Rules Committee. And just to bring you up to speed as we're waiting for members to show up, yesterday, as most of us knew, that Senate File 925 was discussed, deliberated and voted on and ultimately passed in the Judiciary Committee. At that time, I did not have access to any type of fiscal note, although I had requested one the week before. About an hour little about an hour and a half after the committee hearing had its hearing, we got the preliminary report stating that there was a cost to Senator Dibble's bill. And the preliminary cost, this is not a complete one, but the preliminary cost just on health insurance issues alone have totaled up to almost two-thirds of $1 million. And in the discussion and rules, we also discussed the potential cost that has yet to be recognized, and that's the court costs as we if we do expand the definition of marriage to same-sex couples, there would be a triggering of a cost on our courts. The reason being is that now that we're creating a union between another group of people, that's going to impact the costs. The costs of divorce certainly would go up, costs of probate, other legal procedures would also be triggered that are unique to a marriage, and that that cost has not been recognized not only in the preliminary report, but also in any consideration that we're making regarding the potential debate in the future regarding Senate File 925. So I think the motion is an appropriate one to bring forward. I'll have to admit the Rules Committee did not accept the argument. They've decided that even though there's a preliminary cost and there's even more cost that has yet to be recognized, they decided to advance this bill without a financial analysis. That's what your choice is now, is to consider that if we do consider a step like this, we should have our eyes wide open and realize all the ramifications of going toward this policy. And that's why this question is before us now, Madam President.
Is there further discussion on the Nenow motion? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And to the amendment, would Senator Cohen, Chair of the Finance Committee, yield
Senator,
for a question?
Senator Ingebrigtsen, it's actually a motion. It's not an amendment. It's a motion to postpone.
Okay, Madam President, thank you. I'll make some comments then with regards to the...
Senator Ingebrigtsen, you can still ask someone to yield. I was just saying it's not an amendment. It's a motion to postpone considering the committee report.
And Madam President, for point of clarity for me then, it's with regards to the finance portion of this bill is what I'm going to question Senator Cohen for, if he would yield.
And that's perfectly appropriate. Senator Cohen, do you yield? He yields. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Cohen, my experience over the last years on the Finance Committee, and especially the last two, where I believe you were the lead on the committee when you were in the minority, and you made it very clear, I'm not even going to guess as to how many times you made it clear that bills coming forward without fiscal notes would not be allowed under your chairmanship. I guess the question I'm asking very simply, is this a pattern that we're going to be seeing here? Is there going to be more bills coming forward that you as the chair are not going to request fiscal notes to come before the committee that I sit on, that you chair? Is this setting some kind of a trend? I certainly hope not, and I would like Senator Cohen to give us a little flavor as to the next 2 months.
Before I call on Senator Cohen, I would remind members to be very careful about the language you use in terms of the possibility of questioning a member's motives. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Ingebrigtsen, let me make a couple things clear, because we've had this question in the Finance Committee this year. Yes, we're going to have fiscal notes. However, what I saw in the Rules Committee was a preliminary fiscal note. I've asked, I'm going to get the full preliminary fiscal note in a minute. I just got the one page passed out by Senator Limmer. There are two things relative to the action of the Rules Committee. The first is this was only a preliminary fiscal note. Now, we haven't stopped, as best I know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think I questioned, say when I was the lead minority member, I don't think I questioned the absence of a fiscal note where we only had a preliminary, let me correct that. I did not question the presentation of a bill where all we had in front of us was a preliminary fiscal note. It's exactly what it suggests, a preliminary fiscal note. In this instance, the preliminary fiscal note is, and Senator Ingebrigtsen, if you were present in the Rules Committee and heard the discussion, is built on several assumptions. That's why it's a preliminary note. It's built on several assumptions. And I don't know if members who were not in the Rules Committee want me to go through that, but if you look on page 4 of the preliminary fiscal note, where they talk about the number of employees, it's based upon an assumption of the number of, based on the U.S. Census, unmarried partners slash non-spousal households. Then we take the estimate of unmarried partners without specifying if it's same-sex or heterosexual unmarried partners. Then we take the estimate of the same-sex households. Then we take the estimate of those who might marry, and then we try to determine that based upon how many prospectively state employees there are. That's why this is a preliminary note. And so I think it's very tough to make a decision based on that. Second, it was pointed out by, I believe, Senator Marty in the committee that the governor has already included this in his budget proposal. So we already have it taken into account. He has said that the contracts would have domestic partnerships. So we're already taking that into account in terms of determination of the budget. So based upon both those considerations, it struck me that this would not be necessarily a mandate to have it brought to the Finance Committee. Should also mention, Madam President, Senator Ingebrigtsen, that as you know from watching some of the debate in the Rules Committee, I was caught a little bit unaware, had not seen the preliminary note that Senator Limmer had distributed to the Rules Committee. And as a consequence, I wasn't on quite as firm ground at the outset, but having then had a chance to look at it, took into consideration Senator Marty's comment, it strikes me that we do not need to see this bill in the Finance Committee.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. To Senator Cohen's comments, and I would ask that if he would yield for just one more question.
Senator Cohen, would you yield? He does. Senator Ingram.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Cohen, you've made my point, quite frankly. You're talking about preliminary. You're talking about estimations. That's what we do. That's what we do in the... Those are the kind of questions we ask in the Finance Committee, as you very well know. And I did sit in a little bit on the rules, but I had to get up and leave for the Environment Division Committee. But your comment with regards to the first time you have seen this document was from Senator Limmer, I believe you said that, at the Rules Committee. I think that begs another question. Are we going to be required to bring forth, as a minority, to bring forth fiscal notes for the majority on their bills? I'm really quite perplexed as to how you're approaching this. And again, I would really like to see if there's going to be any kind of a fiscal note. I know you've been very insistent on that, and watching out with a watchful eye of the budget the years I've known you. And I guess I still would wonder why we wouldn't bring this back to the Budget Committee.
Senator Cohen,
Madam President, and Senator Ingebrigtsen. Let me suggest, and as you know, I chaired the Finance Committee for 8 years prior to when we were in the minority, now I've resumed the chairmanship, but let me make it very clear. The fiscal staff has never been obligated, and this predates when I was chairman, I can promise you, this goes back to when I first served on the Finance Committee under the chairmanship of Senator Miriam, who was as much of a stickler as anybody in this place. The fiscal staff has never been obligated to present a preliminary fiscal note to myself as chair of the Finance Committee or to the full Finance Committee. We've never done that as a matter of course. Now, members have asked for preliminary fiscal notes to be presented, as was the case with Senator Limmer. I might ask if I have some questions for a preliminary fiscal note, but we've never done that. So I need to ask you to make that distinction between the preliminary note and the fiscal note.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President, and I'll just make a comment with regards to what I know between a preliminary and a regular one. It would be that my question that I'm just simply asking and making the body aware of and maybe throwing this out I'd like to ask Senator Cohen, if you'd yield, for just one more question with regards to his last comment.
Senator Cohen, do you yield? Yes.
Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Should this preliminary note have shown $2 million worth of potential cost to the state of Minnesota, would we be bringing this back? Would we be moving it forward as quickly as we are on the floor without first going before the finance? If this particular $688,000 were to be, even $1.5 million or $2 million, would it move forward with your same kind of a description?
Senator Cohen.
Well, Madam President, Senator Ingebrigtsen, again, you're suggesting a hypothetical, and that's my concern with this preliminary note. It's a hypothetical and a hypothetical and a hypothetical and a hypothetical. Now you've presented another hypothetical, and the answer would be no.
I would remind members with regard to questions that according to Mason's section 114, a question should not be permitted which reflects upon the character or conduct of any member or upon the executive or other official. A question as to what course a member proposes to follow is not in order. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, would Senator Cohen yield?
Senator Cohen, do you yield? Senator Cohen? Yes, he yields. Senator Limmer, but please remember to address the President, even in asking your question.
Madam President, I'm going to ask a question now.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Madam President. Madam President and members, I've been around here a long time, and Senator Cohen will often remind us that he, too, has been here a long time. I might have started in the House, he might tell you, at the time that he began, but I think he preceded my time in the Senate, and certainly, I think, even in the House. Senator Cohen, I don't really remember when you began as a finance chair. Might be because it's so long ago, but I want to say some words that at risk might end up in one of your campaign reports, maybe in an attempt to win a primary election sometime in the future. And I'm going to say this, and it's a compliment. You have been a very effective chairman of the Finance Committee as you've been in your service to the state of Minnesota. I don't think there's a single dollar that you've ever not examined. You've carefully scrutinized the books of the people of the state of Minnesota, and I think that's a tremendous asset for our state. So it kind of perplexes me that we have a hint from our finance people that there's an expense, a preliminary expense, and it's not even the entire analysis, that $250,000 is sitting on this piece of paper. And there may be a question of how they arrived at that. Is it a true premise or is it not? And I'm not sure why we wouldn't want to examine it. I would tend to think that that's our responsibility, whether it's $638,000 or if it's $63,800 or maybe even down to the scrutiny that you've represented, maybe $63. Is something that we should scrutinize. And if the premise is inaccurate, we can dismiss it. But if the premise is accurate, or if it leads us to more expenses, then I would think that it's the duty of our body to carefully examine this expense and the ramifications and the financial consequences if this bill is passed. I'm kind of surprised that we're even having this discussion, but to tell you the truth, I think it's now the responsibility of our Senate body to now come to the point of, are we going to consider bringing this to the best finance committee that we have seen in a long time, chaired and led by one of the best chairmen of the finance committees in the state of Minnesota in the history. And now we're getting to the point that there's some reason created that a premise might be wrong, so it might or it might not be accurate. I'm just surprised, Madam Chair or Madam President and Senator Cohen, that we're having this discussion. I think any expense that we have on any bill needs to go to Finance Committee. And I hope you all agree and join with the scrutiny that's been represented in the past by one of the best finance chairs that we have in the history of our state.
Senator Limmer, I failed to find a question in your speech. Is there further discussion? Senator Cohen?
Well, Madam President, let me answer the question Senator Limmer posed. The answer is 2003. I think that was the question I heard. That's when I became chairman of the Finance Committee originally. And Madam Chair, if you'll allow me, after those compliments.
It's President.
I'm sorry, Madam President. Senator Limmer, I'm going to look at the composite of the finance chairman in my office when I get back downstairs, the folks from 1870, 1880, and I'm going to tell them I'm every bit their equal. And I also want to mention, Senator Limmer, you are without question the nicest, best, greatest senator from Maple Grove I've ever known.
Is there further discussion on the Nenow motion? Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a few thoughts regarding the motion to send this back to the Finance Committee, and I'm rising in support of the motion. I sit on both the Rules Committee, where we just discussed this matter, and I sit on the Finance Committee, and quite candidly, I really would like to see a fiscal note on this bill, if for no other reason, if it's going to tell us that there is no fiscal impact. At this point, I stand here and I honestly don't know whether or not there will be a fiscal impact on the state of Minnesota with this bill or not. Candidly, I strongly suspect that there will be, and I would like to know what that is. And when I say that I strongly suspect that there will be a fiscal impact, I have in mind special relationship that the state of Minnesota has historically recognized in the area of marriage. And when I think about...
Senator Newman, please confine your comments to the motion, which is to postpone and send the until the Finance Committee has a chance to consider it. It is not on the underlying bill.
Madam President, that is precisely the direction that I am heading in. When I think in terms of the motion in support of a fiscal note, I am put in mind of the relationship of marriage and what it means in terms of our statutes in Minnesota. There are work comp statutes, there are unemployment statutes, there are probate statutes. There are laws that involve survivor's benefits. There are laws that involve disability benefits, all of which are special to the marriage relationship. And I want to know if this bill is adopted, whether or not there will be a fiscal impact. Specifically, I have in mind the reviser of statutes. Now, I have not gone through the various bills that the reviser of statutes would, statutes that the reviser of statutes would have to address. But I'm thinking in terms of probate laws. I'm thinking in terms of the work comp and the unemployment. What about the dissolution laws, child custody laws, child support laws? There are innumerable statutes in the state of Minnesota that specifically address the marriage relationship. And I want to know whether or not it is going to cost the state of Minnesota money in order to support this bill if it is in fact adopted. And I sincerely believe, and I'm not commenting on the underlying bill. I think it's going to cost the state of Minnesota a bunch of money, if for no other reason than to send a reviser of statute in to our Minnesota statutes and address the impact of this bill. And I think that that impact is going to be significant. If I'm wrong, so be it. But I really, really do request a vote in support of this bill so that we can see whether or not there will be a fiscal impact. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator Newman. Senator Westrom.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author of the bill, Senator Dibble, yield for a question?
Senator Dibble is not on the floor at the moment. Never mind. He is returning to his desk.
Madam,
but would you just wait until he gets there?
Sure.
Senator Westrom.
Madam President, the question I would have for the author of the bill.
Senator Dibble, do you yield to a question? He does. Senator Westrom.
Has a fiscal note been requested, and if so, what does that fiscal note show?
Senator Dibble.
Madam President, I think Senator Limmer asked for a fiscal note, and we have on our desks what is termed a preliminary fiscal note, and also I think I saw a copy of it in rules. A number of state agencies reported no fiscal impact. The Office of Management and Budget showed preliminarily, so hypothetically, that 100 or so folks might enroll their partners in health care. And so internal to the state employees insurance fund, there might be an impact of around $600,000 or so.
Senator Westrom.
Madam President, thank you, Senator Dibble. I think the answer is no, that you haven't requested a fiscal note. Sounds like Senator Limmer has requested one, and we'll have one coming. Would the Senator of the Finance, Chair of the Finance Committee, Senator Cohen, yield, Madam President?
Senator Dibble?
Senator Cohen.
Oh, Senator Cohen, I'm sorry. I was distracted. Senator Cohen, do you yield to a question from Senator Westrom? He does. Senator Westrom.
Madam President, the question I have for the chairman of the Finance Committee is the standard that the author of a bill needs to request a fiscal note, and if they don't, therefore the presumption can be there's no cost?
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Westrom, the author is not required to request a fiscal note. If a bill is sent to the Finance Committee and it does not have a fiscal note, I might inquire of the author or the fiscal staff as to whether or not there's a fiscal note. But authors are not required at any point to request a fiscal note. Many do, but it's not required.
Senator Westrom.
So, Madam President, if the senator would continue to yield.
I beg pardon, Senator whom?
Senator, if the senator would continue to yield, Senator Cohen.
Senator Cohen, would you yield to a further question? He does. Senator Westrom.
Madam President, Senator Cohen, then can we presume, based on the treatment of this bill, that if an author doesn't request a fiscal note, goes through committee, we can just send the bill to the floor as long as there's no fiscal note?
Senator, I again refer you to questions are as to what course a member proposes to follow is not in order. But if Senator Cohen wants to respond generally, he certainly may. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Westrom. If a bill comes, let's say hypothetically, and we're not talking about this bill, but there's a bill that comes to the floor, it's sent from one of the policy committees, from the Environment Committee, the Education Committee, and it's noted either by myself or the Chief Fiscal Analyst or the Fiscal Analyst for the division that there's an appropriation section in the bill, and yet it wasn't sent to the Finance Committee, and there was no fiscal note. Under those circumstances, where it's very clear, I would then ask that the bill be sent to the Finance Committee, and I might then ask for the preparation of a fiscal note. On the other hand, in this particular instance, the bill is not going to the Finance Committee.
Members are once again reminded to face the front of the chamber and address your comments to the President. Senator Westrom.
Well, Madam President, I'm still learning the procedures of the Senate, but generally they're similar to the House that we had, and the Ways and Means Committee in the House usually brought in things that would have a fiscal note, or if there was some question about a fiscal note. Today I think we've had the issue raised that there could be a fiscal note or a cost to this bill that we want to hold up and wait and see. Sounds like the finance chair and the finance committee isn't concerned about that. And what I heard from the last answer, Madam President and members, is that if there's not a language in the bill that directly says an appropriation, then the default would be that we can go to the House or the Senate floor for passage. And so, Madam President, I just want to make sure we get on the record what the procedure is going to be, so all of us senators, newer and more veteran, will know the procedures that are going to go on, and this will help establish that.
Senator Westrom, I can only say that comparing the rules of the Senate to the rules of the House in a favorable manner is considered heresy.
Madam President.
Senator Westrom.
Point well taken, but I'm just wanting to understand the difference, and now I understand there is a difference.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I wanted to emphasize the observation from Senator Newman regarding legal costs. As if I can direct your attention to the preliminary report just down from the title reflecting the bill's focus, the agencies that are reflected here, you will not see courts, court services, civil legal services, anything like that regarding that third branch of government. That's not listed. This is just a preliminary view of agencies. And I think Senator Newman's comments regarding all of the other areas, divorce law, family law, child custody, insurance costs, probate, civil legal costs, filings, real estate law that is uniquely recognized, marriage relationships in its tenancy laws are all affected, and they all could trigger disputes regarding this area of law within a marriage umbrella discussion. There definitely will be costs, and I'm fearful that we're going to ignite costs that we don't have coverage in our budget for. This is a legitimate discussion, and it should be one that's appropriate for our Senate.
Senator Eaton. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. I was just doing some research back on a bill that I worked on last year. Had a zero fiscal note, but there was a $10,000 impact, potential impact on the Senate budget. And I recall very clearly how frustrated I was when Senator Cohen stood up and reminded us that just because there's a zero fiscal note doesn't mean it doesn't need to go to the Finance Committee for a look, because it does have impact on other sources of funding. So I wanted to remind the body that for $10,000, I was asked to have my bill re-referred.
Is there further discussion on the Nenow amendment, motion rather? Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. And maybe I'll make some final remarks. It looks like I have another senator that wants to speak first. So I will wait, Madam President.
Senator Senjum, did you wish to speak?
Madam President, yes, just briefly.
Mr. St. John.
Madam President, this is a significant bill. I think it's important that we do it right and do it according to the procedure of the Senate. Adds credibility to what we do and how we do it. And I would certainly urge support for the Nino motion to re-refer this back. Again, it's significant. It ought to be done right. It ought to be done according to our procedures.
Senator Senjum, it is not a re-referral. It is to postpone. The motion is to postpone.
Madam Chair, I would support a postponement, then. It just simply needs to be done correctly.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. And for the members' benefit, we're kind of getting into some technical procedural stuff, so I just want to make sure everyone understands what this motion is, what it does, what it doesn't do. As the President highlighted, this is simply asking that we delay the vote until after we can get a completed version of this preliminary fiscal note. This does not prevent a vote, doesn't stop a vote, doesn't even hint that we're not going to vote. It just says wait till we get a fiscal note so then we can decide. The decision at that point will be, and if my motion does pass, I expect that we will get a fiscal note and we will come to a vote on adopting this committee report. And the decision at that point will be, do we simply adopt the committee report, put the bill on general orders before the Senate, or are the dollar figures large enough in here that we're concerned and we want the Finance Committee to take a look at that and budget for it? That's what I'm asking for, is the opportunity for us to make an informed decision. Right now we have a slightly informed opportunity, but not fully informed. And I appreciate the comments that Senator Cohen made about there being a lot of questions on the fiscal impact. And he's right, because this is only a preliminary fiscal note. And he makes my argument for me that we should wait till we have a completed fiscal note and all of those questions have been answered, so that we understand what all assumptions are being made within the fiscal note, and we see what the fiscal professionals have ultimately concluded as to the ultimate cost or savings. They could, I suppose, theoretically, they could come back and tell us it saves us money. And members, I don't care what the bill is, or if this happened in the future, what the bill would be. I would make this same motion because it's the right thing to do. We have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers of Minnesota, and quite frankly, a fiduciary responsibility to the budget areas to make sure that when we set a budget, that we have the money allocated and we've got it accounted for. So members, this is simply a request to wait a few days, get the final numbers, and make a fully informed decision as to whether we should put this bill before the body for a full vote or ask the Finance Committee to take a look at it and budget for the cost.
Senator Nino, I'll remind you again that your comments are to be made to the President and not directly to the members. Is there further discussion on the Nino motion? Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm sure no one would intentionally bury a fiscal note. I'm sure that this was an oversight, but I'm wondering if Senator Bach might yield.
Senator Bach, will you yield? He does. Senator Ortman.
Thank you.
Senator Ortman.
Madam President and Senator Bach, I believe I've read that you've said that this bill, if it comes up for a vote, will not come up for a vote until May. And I'm wondering, is that what you've said, and is that what your intention is, Senator Bach?
Once again, I remind you that asking a member what course of action they're going to follow is not in order. But if Senator Bach wishes to respond, he certainly may.
Madam President, Senator Ortman, I have been very clear publicly that the Senate is not going to take up controversial policy provisions on the floor of the Senate for debate until we've passed the Senate budget off the floor.
Senator Ortman.
Madam President, I appreciate the Senate Majority Leader answering the question. The reason I ask is I'd like to think that if the bill is not going to be brought up in the Senate again until May, that there should be some time between now and May where the Finance Committee could convene, there could be a fiscal note prepared, and then not just the chair of that finance committee would have the information, but all of the members of the committee. It's important to be a chairman, and chairmen have an awful lot of power and authority, but we have other members of committees that also should have that information. And so I would like to think that the members would say, let's make sure all the members have the information. We're not going to take a vote on this until May. Let's not push this battle before all those questions and fair questions have been resolved.
Is there further discussion on the Nenow motion? Seeing none, a roll call has been requested. The secretary will take the roll. Senate is under call. Senator's under call.
Madam President, I move that those not voting be excused from voting.
Madam President.
Senator Cohen moves that those not voting be Madam excused President. From voting.
Madam President. Roll call.
Cannot have a roll call when the board is open. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 30 ayes and 36 nays, the motion is does not prevail. We're now back on the Bach motion to adopt the committee report on Senate File 925. Further discussion?
Madam President, I ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Is there further discussion?
Madam President.
Senator Hamm.
Madam President, I would just like to point out that we are about to adopt a committee report, and under Mason's, and I'm asking for the appropriate section of Mason's to be distributed to members, section 673, which makes it clear that when we adopt a committee report, we are in effect endorsing, and this is the quote, the statement or expressing the approval by the body of the substance of the report, and it has the effect of expressing approval, endorsing the findings or recommendations of the report. And so, members, what we're doing by adopting the report that's before us is that we are adopting same-sex marriage in Minnesota. And I would like to just point out that this is a remarkable set of circumstances, given that the majority has made statements over and over and over again that this session is about the budget, it's about the economy, that that's the priority that we have this year, and yet here we are about to adopt same-sex marriage before we even have a budget finalized by the governor, a proposal, and before the budget bills by the majority have even been introduced into this body, that we are going to take a vote here today on whether or not we should have same-sex marriage introduced in Minnesota. And I think that that speaks very clearly what the priorities are of the majority, and I think that it should be very clear to members what this vote is about. And so I think that as you contemplate your vote, I think you should contemplate it in the context of what we have said and what we have talked about on both sides of the aisle about what the priorities are, what this session, what we're trying to accomplish here, which is to pass a budget to deal with the issues before the state. And I've heard members on both sides of the aisle, frankly, talk about how this issue should not be the central issue of the session. And in fact, I've heard members on this side talk about how this would be done after the budget was done, and yet here we are today, and we're going to vote on this bill. I would urge that we do not adopt this report. And at least if you're in favor of the policy, live up to your commitment to not act on it until the other things that you say are the priority get done. And then at that time, if there is time, and if that's the wish of the majority, to act on that provision at that time. So I would urge that we not adopt the report.
For the members, if you look at the committee report that we're considering the motion, in the second paragraph it reads, reports the same back with regard to Senate File 925 with the recommendation that the report from the Committee on Judiciary shown in the Journal for March 2013 be adopted, the committee recommendation being the bill be amended. That's a conditional. And when so amended, the bill to do pass. And then there were amendments adopted. I would also direct members' attention to Section 667 with regard to committee reports. The regular reports of committees, particularly the reports of standing committees concerning bills referred to them, usually follow a simple routine. The reports, after being received from the committee with the bills, are read under the appropriate order of business, which we're on now, and the bills are ordered to second reading where any amendments proposed by the committee shall be considered. Any other amendments may be proposed on second reading. From second reading, the bills are ordered to engrossment and third reading where the question of passage is considered. The reports of committees as such receive no special or independent consideration, but the recommendation of amendments proposed by committees are considered on second reading. The recommendation concerning passage is considered when the bills receive consideration on third reading.
Madam President, is there
further discussion on the Bach motion to adopt the committee report?
Madam President.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate your calling attention to the action or the what we're acting on, and you did quote it accurately, that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass. That is what we are acting on with the motion in front of us, that when we adopt the rule, we are adopting the resolution to pass this bill. And members should just be very clear, and I think Mason 673 makes that clear, that that's what we are doing, that we are acting on and agreeing to pass the substance of the bill.
Senator Hahn, I hesitate to split hairs, but when the sentence reads, the bill be amended and so amended, the bill to pass, is in the subjunctive mode and not in the declarative. And so this is not a vote on the bill. Is there further discussion on the Bach motion? Senator Nunell.
Thank you, Madam President. The President is correct. This is not a vote on the bill. This is a vote on the substance of the bill. Mason's 473, and I'll just read it. Members can interpret it any way they want. It's a motion to adopt committee reports. This motion has the effect of expressing approval or endorsing the findings or recommendations. The recommendation is to pass. Now, if you endorse that recommendation, vote yes. If you don't endorse that recommendation, vote no. That's fine. But let's be clear on what the vote is.
Is there further discussion on the Bach motion to adopt the committee report on Senate File 925? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the Bach motion to adopt. It is under call. Members will please vote. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 35 ayes and 31 nays, the motion prevails. Continuing to sixth order of business, second reading of Senate files, Senate file 925, second reading. Order of Senate business, announcements of Senate interests. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Tomasoni all day, Senator Stumpf 11 to 11:20, Senator Lantz 11 to 11:20. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Thursday, March 14th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Senate is adjourned.